Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Yuma Daf Ayin Aleph. We left off in Daf Ayin Amid Beis. We're at the two dafs, three lines from the end of the page on Daf Ayin Amid Beis. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children. We thank Dr. Lander again for the continued sponsorship of the Daf Yomi. The first thing we're going to discuss in today's daf is we're going to try to fit in the Seder Avodos Hayom as described in the Mishnayos with the Seder Avodos Hayom as described in the Psukim, and we're going to see how it is that there were five Tvivos and 10 Kiddush Yadayim Veraglayim if you're actually following along the way it was done in the Psukim, and we're going to show how the Psukim are not necessarily all written exactly in order. Then in the middle of the Amud Aleph, the Gemara is going to discuss what the Mishaleh the Seir La'Azazel did when he returned, and the kind of conversation he had with the Kohen Gadol, and based on the conversation he has with the Kohen Gadol, the Gemara is going to tell us a number of other teachings about how one is supposed to treat Talmidei Chachamim and the like. And then the Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to identify the Shmona Begadim, the regular four Big Day Kuna plus the Shmona Begadim that the Kohen Gadol would wear that the Kohen Gadol would normally wear at least, and we're going to derive how I know how many different strands went into each string that was wound together, and it depends how the Pasuk describes it. If the Pasuk describes something as Sheish versus Mashzar, these are different thicknesses of strings or different numbers of strands that went into the twisting of each string, and the Gemara is going to show what's the source, that Mashzar actually means 8 threads, and that Sheish actually means 6 threads, and that's going to be toward the end of the daf. Let's begin on Daf Ayin Amud Beis again at the very bottom of the page. Kidesh Yad Veraglav. So we said that the Kohen Gadol is then Mekadesh Yad Veraglav. He washes his hands and feet, and he goes to take out the kaf and the machta that he had left there earlier in the day. So Tan Rabbanan, the Brisa elaborates after the Shiluach of the Seir La'Azazel. The Torah tells us Uva Aron El Ol Moed Lama Huba. What avoda is he coming into the Ol Moed for? He already finished the avodas Hayom in the Heichal, and doesn't say what the pasuk doesn't say what he's going there for. So the hotzias hakafa samachta must be that he's going in to get the kaf and the machta that he left there when he was makta the ktoris lefnai v'lefnim, and he has the kaf and the machta bein badei aaron in between the poles of the aaron. So now he has to go and get it. Shekala parsha kula nemra l'seder chutz mi pasuk zeh. The entire parsha in Achremos when it goes through the avodas yom kippurim is all written in order except for this pasuk about removing the kaf and the machta, because even though it says the removal of the kaf and the machta right after the avodas hayom, and only after that it talks about doing his own ola and the ola sa'am, but that's not the real order. He will bring his ayil and the el ha'am, the ola sa'am, before the otzas ha'kaf ha'machta, even though in the Torah it says it after the otzas ha'kaf ha'machta. So my time, why do we need to be mafsik with his ayil and the el ha'am between the avodas hayom and the removal of the kaf and the machta? And because of that, we have to say that the whole Torah, or that the not the whole Torah, but that the description of these of the avoda in Parshas Achremos is not written in order. Meaning there is an Indian of a concept of ein mukta mukhar b'Torah that the Gemara says in the first parak of Maseches Pesachim. We derive from the description of the different experiences of Klal Yisrael in the Midbar. So where Bamidbar Parak Tes comes before Bamidbar Parak Aleph, but that generally is talking about events that happened chronologically that we say in Mukta Mukha B'Torah. But why, when describing an avoda, when describing what you're supposed to do, it seems very odd to put that out of order, to describe it in a way, for the Torah to describe it in a way that's not the right way to do it. So my taima, why do we have to be mafsik with the ayil and the elohim between the avodas hayom and the otzas hakafa machta if that's going to mean that the pesukim are out of order? So I'm ruchista gemiri chamish filus v'asar kiddushin tovel kohen gadol mekadish bo b'yom. We have a Torah shbal peh. And part of our Torah Shval Peh is that we have a tradition. Gemiri Rashi points out means Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. That's a question whether it always means Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Rashi is pretty consistent throughout Shas to say Hilchsa Gemiri La and Gemiri, that these things generally mean Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. The Netziv in his Hakdamah to the commentary in the Shilta says not always. A lot of times Gemiri means even Hilchsa Gemiri La could mean that it's an old tradition, that it's a halacha that we have for a very long time where we can't trace its roots, but we know that it's accurate because our traditions are very, very strong. But we have a halacha l'moshe misinai, or some very old tradition, that there were 5 tevilos and 10 kiddush yadayim v'raglayim that were done by the Kohen Gadol. But we know that he would only need to do a tevila for each change of clothing, each time he change from the Bigdei Lavan to the Bigdei Zav, and a Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim for each change out of clothing and each change into clothing. But V'yamin considering Ksivi, but if you're going to say that the Torah is describing how the Avodah was actually done in the order that it was actually done, and the removal of the Kavla Machta was done before he'd be Makriv, his Ayil and the Ela'am, well then Lo Mishkachsa El Shalosh Tvilos V'Shisha Kiddushin. Then you're going to be missing a couple of Tvilos and some Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, because you'll have one Tvila and one Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim for putting on the Big Day Zav to do the Tomet Shel Shachar, which is an Avodas Chutz. That's why he was wearing the Shemana Begadim. He'd wear the Big Day Zav for that. And then a second Tvila and two Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim to switch from Big Day Zav to Big Day Lavan for the Avodas Hayom. And that would include, according to the order of the Psukim, the Tzah Sakafa Amachto, because all of that is Avodas Pnim, and then a third Tevila and two Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim for switching out of the Big Day Lavan back into the Big Day Zav to do his Ayil and the Ela Am and the Maktir, the Emuri Chatos HaPnimim and the Avodas HaMusafim and the Tamish Shvein Arbaim, all of the Avodas Chutz, all of the other things that he would do outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and then another final Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim to remove the Big Day Zav at the very end of the Avoda. So then you're only, that's only three Tevilos, six Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. How do we get it to five Tevilos and ten Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim? So you have to say that he didn't take out the Kaf and the Machta right after the Avodas Hayom with the second Tevila. He would have to be Mafsik with doing the Ayil and the Ela'am. So he had to change into the Big Day Zav for that, and then change back into the Big Day Lavan to do the Otzas Kaf and Machta, and then back into the Big Day Zav to finish up all the things that are done outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And that's how you get five Tevilos and ten Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. So Maskef Lo Rabbi Zera, Rabbi Zera challenges Rav Chista, V'dom Mafsik Lo B'Sira Nasa B'Chutz. All you told me is that we have a tradition that there are five Tevilos and ten Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, which means that something has to be inserted where it doesn't sound like from the Torah that it is inserted. But who said that it's Otzos HaKafa Machta? Maybe it's the Sira Nasa B'Chutz. Maybe after the Avodas Hayom, he changes from Big Day Lavan to Big Day Zav, and he brings the Sira Musafim, and then he changes back to Big Day Lavan, and he's Motzi the Kafa Machta, and then he changes him to Big Day Zav, and he does Elov Ela Am, and he's Maktir the Emuri Chatos, and the other Avodas Chutz that are left over. And that way it's also his Tovel Chamish Tvilos, and his Mekadish 10 Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. And then you don't have to really change the whole Seder Avoda from what it says in the Torah. You just, he does his Ayil and the Ela'am right after the Otzos HaKaf HaMachta. And what your Mafsik in the middle of the Avodas Pnim is with the Sira Chitzon. That's what happens to break up the Avodas Pnim. And that's not changing the order of the Torah, because it's not written in Parshas Achrimos anyway. That's only mentioned in Parshas Pinchas. So that's not really a break in the order of Parshas Achrimos. It has to be inserted somewhere. So just insert it in a way that it's going to cause another change of clothing and Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim and Tefillos and whatever, back and forth. So that wouldn't be challenging the order of Parshas Achrimos. So Abaye answers, Amar Kra, no, it's because the Pasuk says, by his Ayil and the Ela'am in Parshas Achrimos, V'yatza v'asa esolaso v'esolasa'am. The Pasuk continues. So that's the first time he leaves from the Hechel to the Azara for Avodas Chutz that I mentioned in the Parsha. So we darshan the Yitzir Rishona of it Elo ve'Elo'am. The first time the Kohen Gadol leaves the Hechel where he had done the Avodas Pnim to the Azara, that's when he's Makrif, his Ayil and the Elo'am. So you see that that Avoda is after the Avodas Yom, before the Otzos HaKafa HaMachta. Because you can't say that the Akravas HaSeir that's done B'Chutz is Mafsik between the Avodas Yom and the Otzos HaKafa HaMachta, and the Elim that he's Makrif is only after he's Motzi HaKafa HaMachta, because then it would turn out that he's Makrif the Elim only after the second Yitziah. But when it says V'yatzav HaSeir, so we don't have Yitziah Rishona of an Elim Ve'Elam. It has to be the first Yitziah, so we can't insert another Avoda earlier on that's going to make that the second Yitziah. It's got to be the first Yitziah. Rava Amar, Rava says another reason why it has to be that the Otzos HaKafa HaMachta is Shelo Al HaSeder, because Amar Kra, the Pasuk says about the Otzos HaKafa HaMachta, Ufashat is Big Day Abad. So Shein Tamalomar Asho Lavash. The Torah would not have to say, when you describe someone removing clothing, you don't have to say, oh, he removes the clothing that he was wearing. Of course, it's the clothing that he was wearing. Kluma Dem Poshet El Masha Lovesh. Does a person ever remove clothing that they're not already wearing? El Matamalomar Asho Lavash. So why does the Pasuk say, Ufasot is Bigdei Abad, Asher Lavash. Those two words are extra. No, it means Shalavash Kvar, that he has, these are clothing that he's already worn before and removed before. And now, when it comes time to taking out the Kafa Machta, he's wearing them a second time. So you see that between the Avodah Sayom that the Pesukim describe prior to this point, and the Otzos HaKafa Machta that's described in this Pasuk, the Kohen Gadol must have done in Avodah Chutz, where he had to change into the Shemona Begadim, he had to change into the Big Day Zav. What was that for? That was for Elov El Ha'am that the Pasuk is about to describe. So you have to say, like we said in the Brisa, that the Pasuk of Otzos HaKafa Machta is not actually Allah Seder, it's really after Elov El Ha'am, it's really after some of the Avodah Chutz, and the Otzos HaKafa Machta is his second time wearing the Big Day Lavan. But still, why don't we say that he's mafsik between the Avodas Pnim and the Otzos HaKafa Machta, which you're right, the Avodas Pnim is done with the Big Day Lavan. He's going to change into Big Day Zav to do something else outside, and then he's going to put on the Big Day Lavan again to be mostly the Kafa Machta. But how do you know that it's Elo Ve'El Am that he's doing outside in between? Maybe it's B'sir Nasa B'chutz, the Sir Musafim, because that also would mean that the Otzos HaKafa Machta was a second Levisha, and then you don't have to change the Seder Avodos as it's written in the Torah. So how do I know that Takravas Elo Ve'El Am is the Avoda that was Mafsik between his two Big Day Lavan turns? Haksiv V'yatzav Asa, because the Pasuk says by his Ayil in the El Am, it says V'yatzav Asa Es Olas Ves Olas Ha'am. So we see that the first time the Kohen Gadol is Yotze from the Heichal where he had done the Avodos HaPinim, that's when he's Makri the Ayil and the Elaam. So you see that that's the Avoda that would be Mafsik between the first time he wears Big Day Lavan and the second time he wears Big Day Lavan. So now, aside from the Pasuk of Otzos HaKafa Machta, the rest of the Parsha, it sounds from the Brisa, everything else is in order. We just have that one Pasuk of removing the Kafa Machta that actually came after HaKravas Elo Ve'Elaam. So the Gemara says, really? Kol HaParsha Kula Nemra Al HaSeder? The whole rest of the Parsha is Al HaSeder? Va'Krayik Si. Pasuk says, so it describes the mitzvah of burning the emurim of the parin sira pnimim v'hadar, and then afterwards it says veis parachatos veis sira chatos, and it says v'sarfa veishas arosam. That's the mitzvah of burning whatever's left over from the parasira pnimim. So we have the burning of the emurim before burning the rest of it. So it sounds like the sreifa has to be only after you're maktir the emurim. Only then are you soreif the rest of the parts of the animal. But the Mishnah had said just a couple of days ago, that if you were one of the audience that watches the Kohen Gadol be Kori Batorah, well then you did not get to see the Parvisari Nisrafim while they were being burnt, because it was at a distance from Yerushalayim to the Beis HaSreifa, and the Kriya and the Sreifa all happened simultaneously. So the Sreifa of the Par and the Sa'ir was at the end of the Avodas Hayom that was done in Big Day Lavan in the second Tevila. That was the Zman of the Kriya, the Ilu Emuri Chatos, Basarachi Maktir Luhu. But by being Maktir, the Emuri Chatos, that was only after, that was on the Tvila Shlishis, after he was Makr of Elo Ve'Elaam. So it turns out that those Psukkim are also not in order. So don't tell me that the only Pasuk that's not in order is the Pasuk about the Hotzos HaKafa Machta. Turns out there are more Psukkim that are not in order. So Ema Chutzvi Pasuk Zeve Elof. Now we don't mean to say that there's only one Pasuk that's out of order. It means this is where it all falls apart. Meaning up until the point of Otzos HaKafa Machta, everything was in order. From Otzos HaKafa Machta and on, you can't trust the order that it says in the Torah. We have to rely heavily on Torah Shebal Peh to describe the actual order. Why, Taka, would the Torah say this out of order? So the Ramban writes that the Derech HaKsuvim all over the place is to be Mashlim in Inyan that we began, that once we began it, even though it's not Mamish Kafi HaSeder. So the Torah finishes the inyan of Avodas Hayom that's only kosher with the Kohen Gadol, and then writes about the Sreifas HaParva HaSoyer, which is not an Avodah at all, and is even kosher to be done by a Zar. So that's why, once it's out of order, it's not out of order entirely. It's in some sort of logical order that once we're talking about something, we talk about whatever is thematically related to it, or whatever is on the same similar topic to it, even if it's not describing chronologically what would happen through the Avodah Sayyam. So ask the Gemara, Umay Chazis the Meshabash to Krai, Shabish Masnisa. Why do you have to be Meshabish to Psukim and say that the Akhtar Seymurim was done after the Shevas Parva Sayyir? Just say that the Mishnah is mistaken. And the Shevas Parva Sayyir was not done at the time of Kriya Satara. It was done by the Tvila Shlishis after the Akhtar Seymurim, the way the Torah says it. Meaning, what kind of question is that? We should be Meshabish. The whole point is we have a Torah Shabbal Peh, and the Torah Shabbal Peh tells us that that's the way the order is supposed to be. So it's speaking in lashon guzma. It's speaking in it's saying, how do I know that that's true? How do I know that how do the Mishnayos know that this is the correct order? So meaning it's trying to discover if there's some sort of allusion in the pasuk to the idea that it's not really written in order. That's all. We're not really suggesting we should just throw out the Torah Shabbal Peh and we should go with whatever it says in the Torah Shabbat on the simplest level. So Amar Abai, Amar Kra, no, Abai says it is alluded to in the Pasuk, because when it describes the Shiluach Sila Azazel, it says Vamishaleach and it says Vasorif. It says Vamishaleach Sila Azazel Chavis Vazbachas Psar Maim, and then near that it says, where it talks about Sreifa Sapar Vasayir, it says Vasorif Vasavichavis Vazbachas Psar Maim. So from the fact that it says by both of them a similar lashon, Veha Mishaleach and Veha Sorif, so it sounds like there's some equation between the two of them. There's some hashva'a between the two of them. So we darshan ma mishaleach, just like the mishaleach, the hamishaleach is a sa'ir. Even though it says it after the Akhtar Seymurim, it doesn't mean that they're only mishaleach the sila azazel at that point, because the mitzvah shiluach was already said before the Akhtar Seymurim. And this is just saying demei kara. It's just it's reminding us of what the Torah had already told us about. So when it says vehamishaleach, it's saying vehamishaleach, you know, that we already had before, that we already described before. So af vehasorev, so to af sorev, so too when the Torah says vehasorev of the par and the sayer, it means demeikara, that we're describing something that was already done before that Torah seymurim. So that's how I know from the fact that vehasorev must mean something that already happened before. That's the allusion to the fact that it's not really in the that it shouldn't be taken at face value in the order that the Torah says it. So adrava says gemara ma sorev tahashta af mishalechta af mishalechta. How do you know to make the hekesh in that direction? Maybe you should make the hekesh in the other direction. That sorif, this is the first time we're hearing about a sreifa. So maybe so too vamishalech means the shiluach that you're doing right now after the Akhtar Seymurim, because the shiluach la'azazel was said by the Tevila Shnia after the vidui on this year. So nevertheless, it's certainly not the place to do that this mitzvah. It's after the Akhtar Seymurim of the Tevila Shlishis. So why not say it in that direction? And if that's the case, so then the kasha comes back. Why do we say that the Shreifas Paran Sa'ir was in the Tevila Shnia, like the Mishnah says, and not the way it says in the Torah? Say that it was in the Tevila Shlishis, the way it says in the Torah, not like the Mishnah. So it says, no, Vehamishaleach, the Me'ikara Mashma. You can't say Vehamishaleach. Vehamishaleach means that which you're, it cannot be that which you're doing right now. The Lashon of Vehamishaleach sounds like we're going back to what we've already spoken about previously. So the mitzvah Sashiluach was written in the place where it actually belongs, Betvila Shnia, and before the Akhtar Seymurim, and therefore you have to say that the equation that we're making between the Sreifas Apar and the Sayir on the one hand, and the Shiluach Sayir on the other hand, tells me that the Sreifa was also before the Akhtar Seymurim, just like the Shiluach was. So Rava gives another way to be Miyashiv Abayashita. Rava Amar, another reason that the mitzvah Shiluach Sayir is not written bimakoma is because Amar Kra, the pasuk says Ya'amad Chai. So we darshan an masa yezokuk lamad Chai. Until when does the sayir have to be omid Chai? Only until kapara, ad shas kapara. Emasai shas kapara, b'shas matan damin. Shas kapara is when you zorik the dam of the chatos apnimios v'sulo. But more than that, it doesn't have to stay alive. So you see that's the time that it's nishlach la'azazel. So you see that the zman shiluach is right after the sprinkling of the dam apar and the dam asayir hapnimim, meaning the tevila shniya. And therefore, the word vamishalech clearly goes back on what it said, what it was talking about previously. And therefore, the word vasoreif also is going back on what it said previously, and that's how the Mishnayos knew. We're not asking how we know to follow the Mishnayos. Of course we follow the Mishnayos. That's how the Mishnayos knew that that's the order, and that the Psukim are not written in the order that it would seem, the order that we do on the Avodas Yom Kippur is not the order that it would seem from a simple reading of the Psukim. Psukim, that you have to look a little bit deeper into the Psukim. Okay, that's the most challenging part of today's daf. Now we had said that after he's Mishalech the Seal Azazel, he remains in the Sukkah Achron, he remains in the last hut that they prepared for him, and he stays there until Motzai Yom HaKippurim. So what did he do when he came back now? Was there anything else that he had to do? Did he have to report back to anybody? So the Gemara describes, Asi Mishalech, the person who's Mishalech, would come back to Yerushalayim the day after Yom HaKippurim. Obviously that on Yom Kippur, he stays in that Sukkah until Motzai Yom HaKippurim, but the next day he's going to come back, and he runs into the Kohen Gadol. According to some of the Rishonim, it sounds like he has an obligation to go seek out the Kohen Gadol, to find the Kohen Gadol. Mitzo b'shuk the Kohen Gadol. He finds the Kohen Gadol in the Shuk in front of other people, so he has to be give a certain kavod to the Kohen Gadol when there are other people around. So Omer lo, ishi Kohen Gadol, asini shlichuscha, I did your shlichus, I did exactly what I was supposed to do. But Mitzo b'besov, when he finds the Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Gadol's in private, he's not around other people, so then Omer lo, m'chayi chayim, asini shlichuscha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I've done the shlichus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning ultimately it really comes back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu shlichus. But, and over here it's an interesting name that we're giving HaKadosh Baruch Hu over here, that m'chayi chayim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called the m'chayi chayim, the one who provides Parnasa to people. The Meiri says Mechayi Chayim means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that was Ma'amidenu B'chayim U'V'Shalva. That this is what we were davening for the Yom Kippurs, that we should have a year of Chayim, that we should have a year of life. So the Mechayi Chayim was seen. That's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is felt in the world at that time, the day after Yom Kippurim. So that's why he referred to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that way. So the Gemara says, you know, that phrase was used by the Rabbanan in other contexts as well. Amar Abakim Iftir Rabbanan Me'ad when the Chachamim would take leave of each other in Pumbedisa, Amri Hachi, they would say, Mechayi Chayim, Mitan L'Chachayim Aruchim, Tovim Musukanim. They would give a bracha that the Mechayi Chayim should give you a long life and good life, Umusukanim, and a Metukan life. You see what that means. So the Mi'iri writes that this means when Talmidim would separate from each other, when they'd leave based Rabbam, they should be Mevarich each other with whatever it is that they needed. Now Hashem should provide them with whatever Tzrachim they need in order that they shouldn't have to be mevatel from their limud in order to be able to eat. The Iyun Yaakov writes that the reason that they davened for each other or mevarich each other with Chayim Aruchim dafka at this point is because they were being nifrad mi Divrei Torah, and ki hi chayecha va'orech yamecha. So if you're separating from Divrei Torah, you're leaving the Beis Medrash, now you need a bracha for Chayim. When you're in the Beis Medrash, of course you can have Chayim. Ki hi chayecha va'orech yamecha. The Torah itself is arichus yamim, meaning, and they believe that with all their being, that's what the Gemara describes in the first part of Masech HaShabbos. The Gemara describes the Tanit Be'el Eliyahu of the fellow that died at a young age, and his wife didn't know what hit her. She didn't know what happened, because it says ki chayecha v'orichimecha, and he was shona harbe v'kara harbe v'shimish l'minicham harbe, that you can't explain it. I mean, it sounds like had he not been such a Talmud Chacham, then she wouldn't have had a problem. I mean, she may have been sad, but she wouldn't have had a theological problem. The problem is that it sounds like even if he did a lot of mitzvos. No, but Torah, ki chayecha v'orichimecha, that's supposed to be arichas yamim. So dafka, when they're leaving the Beis Medrash, they need to bless each other with arichas yamim. So once we describe that they blessed each other with chayim misukanim, so the Gemara says, let's darshan a pasuk in Tehillim. Es halech lefnei Hashem ba'artzos hachayim, am ravido zem makum shvakim. That when we say ba'artzos hachayim, artzos hachayim means the city that has marketplaces, because that's where it's easy for a person to find food and to find means for support. So David HaMelech was always traveling from one place to another, so he davened that he should always have places like that where he'll be able to survive. So the Gemara explains another pasuk that uses the lashon of chayim when it describes limud Torah and fulfilling mitzvahs. The pasuk in Mishlei says, ki orech yamim ushnos chayim v'shalom yosifu lecha. Beginning of the pasuk is b'ni Torasi al tishkach umutzvosai yitzor libecha. So it's about Torah and mitzvos, that when you observe the Torah and mitzvos, ki orech yam shnos chayim v'shalom yosifu lach. So why does the pasuk have to say shnos chayim? Yeshanim shal chayim, yeshanim sheinim shal chayim. Is there a time that a person spends on this world that are years of life, and times that a person spends on this world that are not years of life? So Amar Blazer, elu shnos shalom, tapchos alav meira'a l'tovah, l'tovah rather. That's when a person is a poor person when he's young, and then he becomes more wealthy when he gets older. So it says if he's gone from mavis l'chaim and ani is chashav kemeis, so when he becomes no longer an ani, so then he goes from mavis to chaim, and that's why the years of his ashirus are called shnos chaim. So the pasuk is saying in the zchus of Torah and mitzvos that he was mekayim, he's going to have shnos chaim. He's going to have years of parnasa, years of ashirus. Is that true? Everybody who learns Torah is going to have ashirus. There are a lot of times Chazal promise ashirus where it doesn't seem to really play out. Right, Chazal tell us that anyone who gives tzedakah is going to be an ashir. Aser b'shvil shutas ashir. There are a lot of people that give meiser and don't become an ashir. There are a lot of people melech mamon chaser. They give a lot of tzedakah and they don't become an ashir. There are a lot of people that serve a sandik and they don't become an ashir. Right, they asked the stipler that question, that he was a sandik at so many brisim and he still didn't have any money. He would sell kilos yakovs and for whatever it was, 8 shekel or whatever it was, he'd buy a volume and he'd give you the change. Like, he didn't want to take any tzedakah from anybody. He didn't take any money. He didn't have too much money, so the answer has to be that the definition of ashirus is very different. You could say the definition of ashirus in two ways. One is that maybe the definition of ashirus is about what the Mishnah describes. Sameach b'chelko is the definition of ashirus, or the definition of ashirus may be by medieval standards, meaning someone who's very poor nowadays has so many things that a couple hundred years ago he would have been the richest man in the whole world. He has a meal to eat not only today but also for tomorrow and for he's a guy. He throws out more food after Shabbos than whatever after a meal that could feed a whole family. That's crazy ashirus that people have. So maybe our definitions of ashirus are all skewed. Okay, so the Gemara Darshan is another pasuk in Mishlei. Pasuk describes aleichem ishim ekra, and it says v'koliyol b'nei adam. So Amar Rabbi Brechia, when the pasuk says ishim, it's a strange way to describe men, to describe ishim. So elu tamid cham ishim means anashim, but it's a more feminine form of the word anashim, and the more feminine form of the word anashim, even though it's describing men, not women, but it's a feminine way of describing men, and that's referring to Talmid Chachamim. Rav Zevin, Zichron Levrach, has a sefer called Ishim Vishitos. And I always wondered why he called the sefer Ishim Vishitos. Call it Anashim Vishitos. Right, it's a description. It's a fascinating sefer. The sefer is he picked 12 or 13 gedolei talmidei chachamim from the last few hundred years. And he wrote like an intellectual biography of each of them. Intellectual biography, I don't mean like an academic style biography. I mean like not a biography of like this was their favorite color and this was their father's name and their mother's name and these were their siblings. No, like a biography of their mind. Like this is how they would think and this is their style of Torah and this is what they contributed to the Torah world. And he'd give examples. It's a fascinating story. He's got like 10, 15 pages on everybody and he's got like 85 pages on the Rugachever because he was a Ben Bias by the Rugachever. So all the good stories we have about the Rugachever come from there. Come from Rav Zevin's Ishim Vashitos. They were all first-hand accounts. He saw all these wild stories about the rugged shaver. So why did he call it Ishim Vashitos? Why not Anashim Vashitos? Because Ishim is a reference to Talmid Chachamim. The more feminine form of the description of man, it refers to Talmid Chachamim. Why the more feminine form? Shadom and Lenashim. Because in a certain sense, they're like Nashim, which the Rishonim understand means that with their anivus and with their tashos koch, that the Torah is mateshes kocha shaladam, the Torah takes away a person's koach to an extent, so in that sense they don't have the koach of a man, they only have the koach of a woman, but they also have the anivus of a woman, the natural humility of a woman, that not only is looking to do things publicly and get credit for everything and get kavod. Man has a much greater desire for kavod than women do typically, but va'osim gvura ka'anashim, but nevertheless they do gvura ka'anashim. Gvura is defined by the Mishnah as being kovish Shesitra. Men typically have, particularly with the Yetzer Hara, for Arayos, a much stronger Yetzer Hara than women do. So it requires a much greater level of Gevura to defeat the Yetzer Hara. But who has an even greater level of Yetzer Hara than a typical man? The great Talmid Chacham, because called a Gadol Mechavero, Yitzro Gadol Emenu. So he who has the greatest Yetzer Hara requires the greatest Gevura. So on the one hand, they're Toshash Kocham and they're Anav Men. On the other hand, they have this Gevura, so they have this mixture of masculinity and femininity within one person, but in a kedusha kind of way. The in Kabbalah they say that Yimos HaMashiach, there's going to be this mixture of masculine masculinity and femininity that's going to be sort of mixed together. So we see it a lot in the world now in a non-Kedusha kind of way, but the way ideally it's supposed to be channeled is in a way of Kedusha, like the Gemara is describing over here. If a person wants to be menasech wine on the Mizbeach, he should provide wine for Talmidei Chachamim. He should give it because the Talmidei Chachamim are like his Mizbeach. He should provide Talmidei Chachamim with wine. Shnemar Aleichem Ishim Ekra. And Ishim is the lashon of Korban Isha, that it's like a carbon that you bring on the Mizbeach. So it's saying to the Talmidei, and it's also a lashon, like we just said, of Talmidei Chachamim. So when you invite them to a Mishteh Yayin, it's as if you're Menasech the Ishal Gabei Mizbeach. If a person sees that his children aren't learning Torah, so Yisa Bas Talmud Chacham, aside from the woman that he's married to already, he should also marry a Bas Talmud Chacham in order that she should encourage the children to learn Torah. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, Im Yaskin Ba'aretz Rasho, Uba'ofer Yomos Kizo, the Pasuk describes, Mariach Mayim Yafriach, Va'asa Katsir Kimo Nata, that if the roots start drying out, the roots of the tree start dying out, and then the geza of the tree is going to die, there's still hope for the tree, because if you just give it a little bit of if you're mariach the shoresh or the geza, even a little bit of water, you just give it a little bit of nourishment, so the tree can still come back to life and grow healthy branches. So too, if he sees that his children are drying out from Torah, so if he marries a Bas Talmud Chacham, so then his children are going to have that Reach HaTorah again, when the Torah is Meshulah L'mayim, so it's going to be able to strengthen them in Torah once again. So that's the assumption, is that the woman has the major influence in the general tone of the house, and if she's a Bas Talmud Chacham, she knows what a home full of Torah is supposed to look like. Meaning a lot of times you'll have a person who has ideals. You know, she went to seminary and she was told that how important Torah is and Talmidei Chacham, but she never saw it. She never saw what it looks like when someone's actually dedicated to Torah. When someone has to wake up early in the morning because they're going to a shir, they're going to learn Torah, or they go out at night to learn Torah. They never saw it. So you have this problem. I deal with shidduchim a lot of times. Yeah, you have this with couples a lot of times. You have this problem that she always thought she wanted a Talmidei Chacham, but then she decided, I don't want a Talmud Chacham. I want someone who's going to be with me the whole time. Because she didn't know what it meant to want a Talmud Chacham. Okay, V'yom Tov Ha'yosu La'o'avav. And then the Kohen Gadol would make a party for all of his friends. So Tan Rabban, Ma'isav Kohen Gadol Echad, Shiyatzim Beis HaMikdash, she came out of the Beis HaMikdash after Yom HaKippur, Va'avazi Kuli Alma Basrei. This was during the Tekuva Ba'isheni, where these Kohenim Gadolim were not such great guys. So everyone was following, was being Malavahim. Kivin D'chazinu L'shmai V'avtalion, and then they ran to Shmaya Vavtalion. They started walking together, but everyone was still following. But now their kavana was not to follow the Kohen Gadol. They were really following Shmaya Vavtalion. They were much more chashuv than the Kohen Gadol, even though they were gerim. But they were much more chashuv than the Kohen Gadol because they were tamidei chachamim and tamidavilu mamzut talmud chacham is called them the Kohen Gadol am haaretz. L'sof asu Shmaya Vavtalion lefturi minei the Kohen Gadol. Shmaya Vavtalion were about to take leave of the Kohen Gadol, and it was about to be very embarrassing for the Kohen Gadol. So Amalan, the Kohen Gadol, said to Shmaya Vavtalion, Yesim b'nei amin l'shlam. He dafka, you know, used a term that they're b'nei ha'amim, that they don't come from the Jewish people. They're b'nei banav shel sancheiriv, when he said goodbye to them. So Amalan, the Shmaya Vavtalion said back to him, Yesim b'nei amin l'shlam, da'avdin uvda da'aron. We may be b'nei amin, but we're the kinds of people that do what Aaron HaKohen would do, who is an Ohev Shalom v'Rodev Shalom. We came to greet you. We wanted to make Shalom. But the Bar Aaron, the one who's actually a Kohen, should not be Yotze L'Shalom, the law of it of the Aaron, because you don't even do what your heritage says. You're not following in the ways of Aaron by speaking in such a nasty way to us, by violating Ona'as Tvarim, in reminding us of what our heritage is, of what our genealogy is. Okay, now the Mishnah describes the big day, Kuna Gedolda. So Kohen Gadol Mashayim Shmona Kelim, Ve'ahed Yot Barba. In general, the Kohen Gadol does the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash wearing Shmona Begadim, and the Kohen Hediot wears 4 Begadim. So the Kohen Hediot wears the Ketones, which is just a plain robe, Umechnasayim, Umitznefes, Va'avnet. And he wears Umechnasayim, which is the pants, for lack of a better word, the Mitznefes, which is the hat, and the Avnet, which is the belt. most of love Kohen Gadol, then on top of those four begadim, in addition to those four begadim, the Kohen Gadol also wears choshen, which has all the precious gems in it that he wears over his chest, the ephod and the apron that he wears ephod umi'il, and an outer garment v'tzitz, and the tzitz on his forehead that says kodesh la'Hashem, that goes together with his tefillin on his head. So the Mishnah describes when the Kohen Gadol would wear the big day kuna gadol, even shalavish hasavodah. So be'elu nishalim burim v'tumim. When the Kohen Gadol is wearing the shrona begadim, only then can they ask for instructions from the Urim V'tumim. The Torah says, V'nasatal choshen mishpat asu Urim V'satumim. So Rashi writes, Urim V'atumim means the ksav of the Shema Mefurish that was put into the folds of the choshen, and through that they'd be able to be shol Urim V'tumim, and the choshen would light up. So that was only while he was wearing the Shemona Begadim, because that was part of the Shemona Begadim. V'inishalim el melech ulav bezin mishat sibur tzarech bo. And you don't just ask for any little bit of advice. You don't go to the Urim V'tumim. They would only go to the Urim V'tumim if it was for the sake of a melech, or for the sake of an av beis din, or when the entire tzibur needed if someone was necessary for the tzibur, the mishloach milchama, or someone who the tzibur needed to be shol the Urim V'tumim for on his behalf. So Tad Rabbanan, Zvar Mishnemer Ben Sheish Chutan Kafel Shisha. Whenever the Torah describes a beged that's sheish, it means that the strands are twisted with six different thinner strings. Mashzar is shmona. Mashzar means that it's eight. It's eight different strings that go into each eight different strands that go into each string. Mi'il shnei masar. The mi'il, which is made all of tcheles, but everything was doubled over, so each chut is actually 12, because it's 2 times 6. Paroches, the paroches that the Mishkan had between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, was made with chutim that are surim of esrim v'arba'ah, of 24 chutim, because each chut was made of four different minim, tcheles, argam, tala, shani, and sheish, and each of those four was 6. So that's how it's 24. Choshen ve'efod, esrim u'shmona. The choshen ve'efod, where the pasuk says sheish, and aside from the fact that it's made out of four minim, of tcheles, argam, Lashani and Sheish, there's also Chutei Zav mixed in there. So it's going to be Esrim Ushmana, because each of the four Minim was six strands. And then for each Min, one more strand of Zahav within each Min. So that's four more of Zahav, and that's how you get to 28. So it says Gemara, Chutan Kavul Shisha Minolan. How do I know that when it says Sheish, it means that it's folded over, that it's twisted six different strands into one strand? The Amar Krak, because the pasuk says, when it talks about the big dekuna, vayasvas ksonas sheish, vasamaseva sheish, vasperim glow sheish, vasmichasay abad sheish mazar. So Chamisha Kraytsivi, five times it says the word sheish in the pasuk, because the word bad that it says by the mechasayim also means pishtan, just like the word sheish means pishtan. So it could have just written it one time at the end. It could have just described all the begadim and said, and they should be sheish. So why does he have to say it five different times? Chad the gufei, want to tell me to kiss them, Nahavu, that they should be made out of pishtan. V'chad sheichutan kafel shisha, and the other to tell me sheish, six times over, that it should be spun together of six threads. V'chad sheyu shezurin, and want to tell me that they should be twisted as a single chut. V'chad l'shar begadim shlo nemer ben sheish, and one for all the other begadim that it doesn't say sheish by, and v'chad la'akev, and one to tell me that all of this is ma'akev in order to make the avodah kasher, that it needs to be made in this way. My mashmada hai sheish kisnehu. How do you know that the word sheish means that it's pishtan? So I'm Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanin, Damakra, bad. Davar olam min hakarka, bad. Because it describes bad, and it must be describing something that grows in stalks from the ground. So that's pishtan. Ve'ima amra, but maybe it means wool. Now, amra of tzuli miftzal, that gets all entangled. That doesn't grow in very clear singular stalks. Kisanam of tzuli miftzal. By pishtan also sometimes it doesn't grow so nicely. So kitana agav lukuse maftzil. That's only when you when something happened to it, when it got was struck by something, so then it gets split into two. But tzemer, that's the way it naturally grows. Ravina Amar Mehacha. Ravina says, no, sheish teaches me, I know sheish means pishtan, from Paskin Yecheskel. It says, pe'eri pishtim yu al rosham, u'michzei pishtim yu al masneim. So pe'eri are the mikvaos, like it says, there's pe'eri ha-mikvaos sheish. So from the fact that by the Torah it says mikvaos were made out of sheish, and Yecheskel describes that they're made out of pishtan, so that's how I know that sheish means pishtan, meaning I need Yecheskel to touch up the word in the Torah. So I'm like, Ravashi, ha-mikami das Yecheskel, Yecheskel Man Amara. Okay, but they had this halacha even before Yecheskel was born. So who taught this halacha before Yecheskel came on the scene? So he says, well, yeah, if you have such kashas, they didn't have a coin that's an oral, is pasul avoda, mi Torah Moshe Rabbeinu Lamanu. We don't know it from the Torah Moshe Rabbeinu, mi Divrei Yecheskel Ben Buzi Lamanu. We only know it from Yecheskel. Kol Ben Echar Or Lever Al Basul Liyavah Al Mikdashi. So Hamakami Dasi Yecheskel Man Amara, before Yecheskel came along, who told us that an oral is pasul la avoda? Ella Gemara Gemiri la Vasi Yecheskel Vasmucha Akra. Hachavami Gemara Gemiri la Vasi Yecheskel Vasmucha Akra. It was a tradition. Then Yecheskel came and gave us an asmachta to apostle. So here also, and then Mashar Shmona Minalan. How do I know that Mashar means that it's folded over eight times? The Chsiv, because it says Vayaskal Shuleyam Il Rimoni Tchelus Ragam Slashoni Mashar Vyalev Mashar Mashar Mi Parochas. So we learn from the Parochas Mala Halon, just like by the Parochas, it's Esrim Varba'a, it's 24 strands. Afkan, Esrim Varba'a. So too over here, where we're describing three different meaning of Tchelus Ragamad and Slashani, that it's a total of 24. How do you get to a total of 24 if there are only three? So Dava Kol Chad V'Chad Timni. Must be that there are eight twisted together in each strand. So V'Neil Michoshen Ve'Efod Mal Alan Esrim Shmona Afkan Esrim Shmona. Why don't I learn from the Choshen Ve'Efod, which is 28? Don Davar Shalona Amar Bozav Mi Davar Shalona Amar Bozav Lafuki Choshen Ve'Efod Shemar Ben Zav. Choshen Ve'Efod is a different category because it says Zav. Adrab Don Begin Mi Begin Lafuki Parochas Da Awalu. Why would I learn from the Parochas? Not even a Begin. Ella Don Me Avne. No, we learn from Avne. Don Begin Davar Shalona Amar Bozav Mi Begin V'Davar Shalona Amar Bozav. We'd rather find something that's a beged that it doesn't say zav from the avnei, which is also it has both of those qualities. Okay, Bezer Shem, we'll pick up with Rav Mari Amar tomorrow. Everyone have a great day.
Thank you.